Welcome to Brasscast, a podcast series exploring the spoken history of the Illinois Brass Band. I'm your host, Rob Barnes, IBB historian. In episode 3, I interview IBB founding member, hornetist, and former board member Mick Garrison. Listen as Mick talks about everything from the very first rehearsal to trips to England and everything else that happened during his 28-year tenure with IBB.
First of all, welcome Mick Garrison to the podcast. I want to talk about your memories of your time with IBB being a founding member. First and foremost, how did you learn about the group? How did you come to attend everything at the beginning?
Well, I think I got a call from George Foster. I think he got a list of people in the local area, told me about what he was trying to do. It sounded interesting. And at the time, was I still playing in North Shore Band? I don't think I was. So it was a good chance to keep playing. And I remember the first rehearsal in the old Presbyterian church in Libertyville. And most of the guys had trumpets. So we didn't have our cornets yet.
What's a cornet?
Yeah. And some of those guys stayed and some moved on. But Bruce was our first director. And I knew Bruce from North Shore Band. He was a great player there. And I think, what was he doing at that time? I know eventually he went out to Western Illinois.
He was getting his doctorate at Northwestern, I believe.
Okay.
I think he was finishing up there, yeah.
Okay. But he was not an expert in Illinois in brass banding. So I guess George was able to get a hold of some music, and Bill Homer was also playing in the group. And it was an interesting mix of folks, young and old. I think everybody came to the rehearsal, not knowing what to expect. And so we had a good time. I don't know how long we rehearsed there. Not too long, because we ended up going out to Boozy Hawks. I read that on the site. And the beer machine.
You're in the pop machine, right?
The beer in the pop machine.
I always heard.
Is true. It happened. And it was a little chilly in the warehouse, but we managed to make it go. There was a guy that played with us for a couple of rehearsals. I don't know if he actually did concerts, maybe one, Nick Drozdoff. And he's a really good trumpet player in the area. He's a high note specialist, if you will. I'm thinking he teaches still in the area, but
in the area? Okay.
Yeah, he played soprano.
Didn't he play soprano in NAVA 93? I know we're going to get there, but I thought he's on my roster for that.
Could be.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the pictures. I think, we have pictures of every group?
You gave me all your stuff. I've got the pictures are on the website now. Yeah.
Good. I gave a box of stuff to George, and he probably passed it on to you.
I've got a bunch of it. Yes, I've got your stuff. George just moved again this past fall, and he gave me a bunch of stuff.
That's great. That's great. Because, that stuff gets lost over time.
Right.
It was in my basement. I said, somebody's going to be the historian. They need the help.
At least Ann's like, you got this IBB stuff here now. So but that's okay.
I'm just saying, you can put it all on electronics, and doesn't take up room.
I actually have lots of that's what I'm doing. I've been scanning stuff for decades, family stuff, personal stuff, band stuff. I actually found the flyer for the first rehearsal, like, hey, what's a brass band? Come on out. Let's join. There's some great stuff. All right, so the first gig was at Cuneo Gardens. We have the audio. Bruce actually had the audio of it. Guy Clark recorded it.
Really?
Bruce ended up with a tape of it. It's actually on the website now.
Oh, reserved. Boy. How'd that sound?
it's hey, it's...
Well, it's outside, so...
Outside? It's nothing. It's not nothing. It's fine.
Yeah, well, good.
So, what do you remember of that? I mean, the picture's there. What do you remember playing that first game?
Well, Cuneo is right down the street from where I live. And so the old mansion was still basically the way it was for all those years. And old lady Cuneo was still alive. So they were not going to do anything while she was still alive, kind of like Mrs. What from the
McCaskey.
Bears, McCaskey.
Mrs. McCaskey, right?
And so that was going on, and at the time they had brunches out there on Sundays, but the main place where we played was out by the pool. And I don't know how many people we had. We had a pretty good showing, a beautiful
Nice.
day. And so it was a good first concert. Yeah, I think we did pretty
Nice.
well.
That's one. Now, do you recall? I think we went back there in the early 2000s.
Did we do an outside
Recall that?
concert?
Yeah, because I know I was in the band then. I definitely recall playing there in the early 2000s, maybe 01, 02-ish.
Okay. That could
Yeah.
be. That could
Yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Well, I remember Bob Schmelzer, I think one summer got a 17 different gigs.
Oh, yeah.
Man, oh man.
And we had a newborn at the time. So it was either 97 or 98. So, yeah. So both of us are playing in the band, and we're okay. Let's either bring Hannah along with her, find a band, let's get the grandparents to watch it for like 17 gigs. That was good. Yeah, that's a good summer.
Yeah, we kind of got out of the hole, and I remember being in North Shore Band, you had to pay a membership fee.
Right.
And remember, the board kicked that around and got a lot of resistance from all our musician friends. They
Yeah.
didn't want to do that, so you had to play a lot of gigs in order to.
So you work for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good. All right. So back to the early days. You talked about Bruce. He's come back. He came back and soloed with us last fall and did a great job. Yeah,
Okay.
he's still a fabulous player and just a great guy. Just a wonderful guy to start us off. So NABBA 93, first time taking the stage. What do you recall? What do you think? Preparations, post thoughts, everything. What do you got about NABBA 93?
Well, at the time, it was Columbus was the big band back then. They would win every year, and I think didn't we do the honors section the first year?
We did. We won in 94 and then bumped up. Yes, I believe 93 was the same as well.
And I think we finished last, didn't we?
93 was last, and I went from last to first.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, and you remember Cullen was playing third cornet, I think, at the
Yes.
time. And we thought, I know when Bruce was leaving, we thought, oh my God, what are we going to do? And here's this guy who's very quiet. I think he'd been in the band for less than a year. And he says, oh, well, I could give it a try.
Well,
But it worked out. It worked out great.
that's one of my questions I got written down, right? So you're sitting in the back row of them, all of a sudden he's on the stage, right? All of a sudden, excuse me, the stage, he's on the podium, and here you go. And
Well, and I don't know if he had in England if he had actually directed. Did he say he actually directed a
I
little bit
haven't,
over
he's next on my list.
there? Okay. Yeah, you
So
have to ask him
you'll have to tune back in and find out and
then.
listen to the next episode.
And we'll do that. We'll do that. Yeah, and we had a good time. That it was a nice way to get to know everybody when you travel and stay overnight,
Yeah.
and you're hearing other bands. Boy, did we woke up because we said, yeah, there's a long way to go here.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So on that same vein, then. Okay. So Collins on the podium. 94. We win. We start moving up. Things start to gel. 95. Toronto. What do you remember from 95 in Toronto?
I think it was rainy most of the weekend, first of all, and we got a chance to hear the band that was featured was the Salvation Army band, and that's the first time I
Right.
heard a Salvation Army band. Boy, were those guys good. And so did we were in the honors that year, and
95. No, we moved up the championship, finished second to Columbus. That was the We Were Robbed year.
in Toronto.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay,
90.
yeah. And I think we played well. What did we
It
what
was
kind of
Essence of Time and
Oh yeah.
Spectrum, I believe.
And I
Yeah.
remember you saying that we started a tradition of playing two test pieces.
That's
And
well,
what
Colin basically changed the way the American contest went. You know, everybody, you know, you do an overture, you do a march. Because remember, we did in 94, we started with a march. We did, then we did two, then we was then there was another almost test piece, and then the test piece Laude, which is Colonel. And then basically from 95 on, we were doing those two test pieces, basically taking that envelope and pushing it.
And I think we were ready. I think everybody was pretty confident. And so that was the year that we were robbed. Is that right? It was.
Here we are. Then remember the summers after that, we do the summer concerts, and Colin will be talking about the competition. Yeah, we finished second to Columbus. In the back row, we start going, yeah, we were robbed. And then he goes, yeah, we were robbed.
Yes, I do. Did you put anything in there? I just came to mind about our trips out to Iowa.
You know what? I haven't got there yet.
Okay.
Talk about some. Okay, so we'll go that way. Give us your grand celebration of brass bands memories.
Well, I think we started doing that early on when Cullen first started, right?
It sounds about right. It was about 94, 95-ish. It was early.
Okay.
So I
And
remember, didn't we run a bus the first couple of years? I have this crazy memory, dude. I remember everything.
Oh yeah, I think we all got on one bus, which was kind of neat. And we got out there, and a lot of the people started. I mean, how many years did we go out there? Like six, seven?
Easily. It was probably through mid-2000s.
Okay.
Because when the band went, we're going to get there, but when the band went to, in 2000, the band went, and Lisa Ann and I didn't go because we had a 3-year-old. So we actually went, traded places with people in Prairie. So it was still going on in 2000, still going on to like the floods of like 2005, 6-ish.
Yeah, well, that was it, right? They never did start up again.
Well, they're actually doing something. The Iowa band has rebranded themselves. They're not Eastern Iowa. They're called the Iowa Brass Band now. Or
Okay.
Iowa Brass. And they're actually doing, they call it the Wurst, WURST Festival. They do it in Amana now, not in Cedar Rapids. They do it, and Friday night they do like a march competition, like Whit Friday. And then Saturday you do some playing things around there as well. The band is in, we've been invited, and we're in trying to figure out if we have enough people to go. It's the same weekend, it's always around Father's Day.
Okay, yeah.
So we're,
And you got all those tourists that come out for to see the Amana stuff, so that's a good draw. But the playing on that little pavilion, it made you feel like you were in a Sousa band, you know?
Wasn't that fun? I
It
mean, just
was.
that whole surrounding with that historical village
Yep.
and the people, and just a lovely day. And then they treated us wonderfully. They fed us. They gave away rum cakes. I mean, just what a wonderful day,
Yep,
huh?
yep, yep. And of course, the finale was that Stars and Stripes that all of the guys, everybody tried to get on the stand or in front of the
Bass
stand.
band and everybody standing around and doing,
I think of what was it? Four or five bands that attended?
Probably that sounds about right. And they try to do like a youth thing that gets some youth group in
Right.
the around lunchtime so we could take a break. Yeah, and then didn't we do two sets, like one in the morning and one in the afternoon, I think?
That's
Yeah,
right. That's
what a
right.
wonderful event.
I remember some neat things. Some like Jeff Lyons brought his crew, his little ones, and I remember Mike Harloff was bringing his daughter and his wife. But yeah, it was a family thing. You know, you brought your wife and your husband, and
Talk about a family event. Yes. Make
yeah.
a weekend out of it. Yeah, well, there was all of us with the kids at the same time. The Burnses, the Lyonses, the Lefflers, and us, all the kids. And we all had our kids, and we all become real good friends, and we'd stay in the same hotel, and we'd swim. The kids would all swim together. I mean,
Yeah.
just a ton of fun. And you know what's kind of neat now is seeing the new generation, the younger crowd, the kids in there. You know, in their 30s, early 30s, and whatever, and there's the next generation of IVB kids now.
Well, that's cool.
It
That's
is. It
three,
is.
four generations
I
now.
know. Isn't it crazy?
It is. It is.
It's crazy.
But
All right. So, all right. So,
I'm just
go ahead.
saying the Iowa trip, I think some of the names from the Iowa band, Steve, remember Steve?
Steve, oh, the garbage man, Steve, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, the brain's not working on his last name. Steve, no, not health. Elton was a cornet player. Yeah, Steve Kenny. There it is.
Steve Kenny, right. And he and Amy kind of got along for a while
Oh.
there. What's it?
When he would drive his RV,
Oh, geez.
he would drive his RV to Nabba's, and they would party in his RV. He wouldn't
I
get a
remember
hotel
that.
room.
I remember that for a few years, right. So
All
he.
right, then. All right, then. My brain goes to Steve Kenny. All right, Nabba 99 and Pheasant Run. You were on the board in the planning of that. Tell me about your Nabba 99 memories of us hosting it.
Well, talk about having the right people for the right event. Remember, was it Laura that did a lot of the planning? Laura and Guy, they weren't
They
married
were
yet,
on
were
it, yeah. Lisa Ann was on it a lot.
they? Yeah,
Stan was on it a lot. Jeff was on it. Jeff Lyons was on it a lot. Yeah.
I think Jeff was a, well, we should go through the presidents. Who was the first president of the
First
band?
president would have to have been
Would have been
George, right?
George.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
then was it Bob Smelzer after George?
Actually, Smeltzer, I was actually present for like 4 days. I don't know if you remember this.
Ah!
Remember the shorts? Okay, remember this? Okay, so I was
We
treasurer
wear
for a
shorts.
while. We wanted to share that. I'm the author of the shorts. That was my one his presence. So we gotta wear shorts. So who was before me? And then so it was 97. Right around then, and our daughter was just born right around then, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I can't book this band. And I freaked out, and I'm like, okay. And then Jeff decided to take over for it, and then I took over as treasurer. That's what it was. And
But
then
Bob Smelter was before Jeff. I know that.
Bob was after Jeff. No, Bob was after me. Sorry, Bob took me, and then Jeff.
And then I
Yes.
got it after Jeff. And
Right.
then we had a couple of false starts there. I think Barb was going to be the president, and then for bass trombone player Jeff
Van
Banyan.
Yachts was present back in the aughts, and it's about 07, 08. And that's as the economy was tanking and everything. We weren't getting any gigs, and that's when the band was almost broke. Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's when Cullen left. And so
Yeah,
there,
right.
and then we started the search for a conductor, and that was that had its ups
Peter
and
comes
downs,
in,
didn't it?
right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, Peter, the anti-Colin, right? So, what do you think of? Give me some Peter memories of Peter Lipari on the podium.
Well, the first concert we had was down in Ottawa, and that's where John Mayling got us a gig. That's where he grew up. And my wife had not seen Peter direct yet, and so a lot of the wives came in the and were in the audience. And Peter liked to shake his booty up on the stage, and they're just going, "Whoa, where did this guy come from?" Compared to Cullen, you know.
Hey, the anti, yeah, right. He's the complete anti-Colin on the podium, right? But we got the same results, you know. He comes in, was it 2001? We win again with basically the same roster, and then we have the mass exodus, especially a lot in the cornet section, right? The mass exodus who goes with Colin to go to Chicago. What do you remember of that? I mean, because your section was really affected.
Well, yeah, we had a quite a few people come in and out. I think Karen and what's the other girl's name that came in?
Sandy McGurk.
Sandy, yeah. And
McGurk.
there was a rifts between I think it was Ryan. They were a little upset with the way things were going. But anyways, I think the core of the group, because Amy left as well as Laura and Guy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was the front
That's
row.
basically your front row going away.
And then did Stan leave then, or Stan stayed for a
Stan
while?
left. Yep,
Stan
Stan
left.
left.
But yeah, that was a tough time. And
Yeah.
we finally with Peter, I think how many guys did we audition? It was three or four before Peter.
Oh, because remember it was right around 9/11 when we were auditioning people. Roger Rocco came in. I have the documents somewhere. I know Roger Rocco came in. I know there are a couple others. That's the one name that I remember first and foremost. But I know we auditioned like three or four. Yeah.
And the remember we had always rehearsed at Stevenson, and we had Jeff, the band director, was in the
Fleet
trombone
Pack.
section,
Yeah, right.
and we were paying a lot of money to
Oh, we
rehearse that.
were.
You were the treasurer. You wrote the checks, and
Oh yeah. Well, they went from they basically didn't want to host us anymore. They went from it was like $10 or $15 a night to like five times that.
wow.
They basically, I think they basically didn't want us there anymore. I do.
That's the way to do it, sure.
It is.
Well, and
It
you
is.
guys have a great thing with Bill. What do
With
you guys?
Bill, yeah. At
Did you
First
guys
Pres
play?
in Arlington Heights. Yeah. So okay, so speaking of churches though, right? 15th anniversary. We had that concert at your church, correct?
Right. Got
That
pictures of
was a good
that
one.
too. That was because we had the old conductors come, and it was well attended. I think there were a couple of guys that I know we had a picture of all the cornets and all the trombones and the tubas.
Right.
So that was a unifying concert. I think we did a real nice job with that.
Yeah, we really did. And actually, part of one of the things George gave me, which I had never seen before, he had a really nice book made up by the photographer we had. And you talk about getting all the pictures of each section. He had a really nice book made up of the whole event, the whole weekend, or whatever. And right, listing of the program notes and everything, and all these pictures. And it's like that's a hard thing to scan and put on a website. Whenever I get the actual IBB Museum open, that'll be on display.
Right. So
Yeah.
you're talking about the cornets and how that evolved. I think once we moved out of Boosie and Hawks, we didn't we buy them because they were on loan, I think, for a while.
They were on loan, and then we had like a purchase to own agreement with them. That was the first set, right, that we ended up selling, right? And then John Melling bought us the new set.
Oh, okay. And they were the Bessons, or were they?
No, the Bessons were the first
Right,
ones.
right.
Yeah, what are they playing? I can't. My brain, I can tell you, I remember everything, but that information just kind of slid out of it. But yes, we bought new ones around 03, 04 that Melling bought that we ended up paying John back. Yeah.
And I remember Guy and Laura trying them out, and we all ended up with I think were they Bessons? I'm trying to
I
think.
thought the first ones were Bessons because that's who Boosie ripped.
Right.
I could be wrong, not being a cornet player, right? Because I know the tubas are Bessons. B
Right.
flats and the E flats are Bessons. Yeah, so I'll have to look up. So yeah, but I mean that's getting the matched horns and everything is part of the whole sound, right?
Right. And remember, we would for summer concerts, we had the timpani in a storage locker, and we'd have to rent a truck and go
Of course.
into the
Oh
locker. Yeah,
yeah,
those were some times. I
we're
rented a
still
truck
yeah we're
many times.
still We're still we I don't know I don't even know we actually bought we have bought a full set of four back about a decade ago. We're actually can store them at the we store them at the church,
Well, that's good.
and we transport them. I think we're at the point where we're not bringing them out for summers. I know we're not bringing them out for summers, but we do transport them. We brought them out to Rockford. I know we rent a truck or we have people in the in in the in the in the, in the band with vehicles, so. It's still a thing, right?
Well, you got the I did do does the band own stands? Do you guys have stands?
We do not own matching stands. No, we have everybody has their own, but they're black. They're almost uniform. But the band still, I mean, the band owns our library is now huge. Our library was always big. Our library is now, I would say it's a 1,200 pieces. And
Jeez.
I would venture to say, I would put our personal library up against any private, community brass band in the country. I think our library is second to none. I mean, obviously the Salvation Army and people like that, but I really think our library is really broad. It's really
You
depth.
guys store that over at the church?
No, we don't. Our librarian, Carol,
See,
actually. has it at her house.
Well, I remember bringing that music over to her house. I mean,
There you go.
and I'm sure there's much more now over the years.
Oh, all those file cabinets. We actually have we have a rider on the insurance policy now for it and everything, because it's such an asset for us.
Yeah.
It really
Hopefully,
is.
are they still in her basement? Uh-oh. Watch out
Yeah, I
for
know.
floods.
I
Yeah.
know. I know. And what we're doing now, though, too, is, we are actually in the process of, no, we're well into the process of digitizing it.
Good, good.
About, I'd say probably 45 to 55% of the band is playing off of iPads now.
No kidding.
Oh,
Okay.
yeah. I'm doing it. I've been doing it for about 3 years now. Love it. And we have actually a member of our library team, Randy Bishorner, who's a euphonium slash tuba player, who is, he's not playing with us only on an emergency basis, but he is basically our scanner. He has taken this task upon him to basically take every new piece that comes in. He scans it, digitizes it. We have everything on Google Drive. When a new season opens up, whomever is playing off of digital parts gets a link to it. They download it, put it on your iPad, boom, it's all there. And he's going back and post-dating all this old stuff. And what he does, I was going to help him on this when he first started this. He is such a stickler on attention to detail. When he scans a part, like say it's a piece we played from 20 years ago, Amazing Grace, right? Everybody's got all their pencil markings and everything. He's going through and taking out all these pencil markings digitally and making it look like a brand new piece of paper.
You can do that digitally?
Can, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The amount of work that he has put into this library is, it's mind-boggling. It's
Well,
fabulous. And what it does, it helps the librarian too, because necessarily she's not having to carry all the music or whatever, because the people that know that they're reading digitally. So it's the way things are going. So.
Well, the choir that I sing in, the Chicago Master Singers, they're also are doing that. And I'm
Okay.
thinking, do I want to do that? Because it takes a little bit of time, get used to it,
Yeah.
and marking your music and things.
Right.
And what our guy does, John, our conductor, he goes through, he's a big planner. So he'll mark all of the parts, all
Okay.
four of the singing parts on a score and dynamics, everything. And then he posts them. And if we don't want to, we have to order our music, right? You have to do that. But if you
Okay.
don't want to transfer your markings, his markings into your book, you can just copy his entire score and then clip that into your book. Well, now he's digitized it. So if you have an iPad, and what are they? Like 8.5 by 11 usually?
Yeah, just a couple different sizes. Right.
Okay. And so I'd say probably a third of the singers are using
Okay.
them.
Okay.
And so, hey, us old farts, we
Yeah.
takes a while for us to change to that.
Well, what I like about it, I've worked in technology for years, and I like learning new stuff like that. What I like about it is my eyes, the older I get, I'm wearing contacts and I put on readers at times. It's so dark, especially in the church when we rehearse. It's so dark. Moving to the iPad, I make this as bright as possible. I flip it sideways. I make the font bigger. I can see it really well.
Wow.
That's why I like it.
And usually, if you're reading music, unless it's a big manuscript, it's the same size as what you're normally used to.
Yeah. So, it's change, right? Change is here, right? We're talking via
Indeed.
Zoom. We're reading music on iPads, right?
Yep.
All right, so back, let's talk about a couple of the Europe trips. What are you the England trips, UK 2K. Give me your recollections of that one.
Oh, it's exciting. The first time for almost everybody going to England. And of course, the first one is always the one that is memorable because that's where Cullen had a big part in where we stayed and where we played. We went to his hometown, and it
Nice.
was interesting. The community welcomed us with open arms. And we, I think, did we stay with a, yeah, we stayed with a couple. And they fed us and they took us on a tour of the area. We took a little canal boat ride, and I mean, it was just great. And the concert was a sellout. It was in their local auditorium, and I mean, and then what was that? This also Whit Friday when we went
That
to.
was Whit Friday, correct. That was the march.
Oh, it was so unique.
But
You were in the band then, right?
we didn't go. We had a 3-year-old. We couldn't
Oh,
justify
that's right.
bringing a 3-year-old on. There was just too much going on. Yeah. So
Well, I
tell me,
don't.
what about the Whit Friday march?
Well, here's what happened. We flew over, and a couple of people had to fly on a different flight. Well, the percussionist, I don't, they missed the flight, and their percussion didn't make it or something. But when they got
Got it.
there, we didn't have anything. I think a bass drum we had. And so here we're walking, marching, no snare drum, just the bass drum. And the neat thing about the competition was you went to different towns and you were on a bus, and everybody that's competing is doing the same thing. So you kind of get in line, and once one band finishes, then you take over. You march about two blocks to a staging area. Sometimes it was a square. And the judges were anywhere. You couldn't see them. Some of them were
Oh, really?
up on the second floor behind a window. But so it was kind of a blind test. And so I think we went to about five towns, and
Right.
we found out that one of the best bands, which band was it? They were coming in right after us, so we decided we're stopping. We're going into the pub, and then we're going to hear these guys. And oh, they were really good. And they were always in the competition to win it, because to win it, you had to almost do like 20 stops, and then the judges would give you points, and those who had the most points would win a cash prize.
Nice.
And fortunately, it was not English weather. It was not raining at all, so we had a good time.
Nice. Nice. And then the school, you did a bunch of schools concerts and a bunch of just traveling around, right? What else from that trip?
Well, I remember we played in a church, and we finished the concert, and the pastors were very nice, and they said, "Well, what we're going to feed you." And so they had a little buffet, and then they had some beers for us. So we're in the church drinking beer, and I thought, this is kind of different. But it was fun.
It's all good. Nice. All right. I fast forward a couple years later. Colin leaves, Peter's in. We get invited to the British Open 2003. What do you remember from that trip?
Well, that was kind of nerve-wracking because it's a totally different type of competition. Everybody plays the same piece.
Sure.
So, and this is new for Peter too, so he didn't know what to expect. If we had had Cullen, we would have had a little more warning. Anyways, the interesting thing is the competition is well attended, and people want to follow along on their score. So out in the
Cool.
audience, people had the score to the music you're playing, right?
Nice.
And when you get to a part where the page turns, you could hear the whole auditorium.
I
And
remember that. That's fabulous.
we were the first band from America that went, and we were nervous, and I think our playing showed a little bit. We played pretty well, but then we
Yeah.
were the featured band the next day, and we did the Stars and Stripes Forever,
Yeah.
and a couple of, I think, did we play more than that? I think we
Oh
did.
no, we did I think we had about 30 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
I have the program somewhere. Yeah, it was easily 30 minutes, and it was not including what do we play for? It was the planets. It was Jupiter and Mars. We did not play those.
Right.
Yeah, it was easily 30 minutes. It was that they have a poster, remember? I don't know if you remember. They had big posters. advertising. I think it was called Brass on Sundays. I know because I got one of those posters, had it framed, still in my house.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, and because there was a Brass on Sundays feature, and it was however many Sundays throughout the fall of 2003. And of course, they have on their they have featuring from America, the Illinois Brass Band with Illinois spelled wrong. They only have one L in Illinois.
That's funny. Oh yeah. Well, see, you're
Come
gonna get
on,
all
Prince.
these you get these tidbits from everybody, and this is gonna be a very detail-oriented project that you're doing.
Kind of fun, you know. You're right. You hear everybody's different perspective, like you with the page turning. I remember that. I remember that day specifically. I think it's just to hear you say that. That's so cool. Because I actually came across George has. George gave me a big tub of scores throughout the years, and there's Venus and Mars from the planets. Those are his copies that he was obviously sitting in the auditorium turning his pages as everybody played.
Yeah, we had a good time and staying at, was it in Manchester? I think that's where it was.
Birmingham?
Or Birmingham. It was in Birmingham. Beautiful auditorium, wasn't
Beautiful auditorium.
it?
Great trip, great. Yeah,
And
wow.
Mary and I stayed over there, and went to London, and we took the Channel over to Paris. We spent a
Wonderful.
couple of the days there, and then flew out back home. But yeah,
Flew from
good
Paris?
trip. Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that a great time? I mean, geez. The opportunity to be able to do something like that and be able to bring your horn with and just
Yep.
to do some, as us as amateur musicians. I mean, what a great time, right?
And don't they don't how is that working now where the British Open, do they have an American band come over or no?
I think there's been a handful of bands that have gone throughout the years.
Yeah, Fountain City was I
Yeah,
know
I'm
them.
not sure whom. I don't know. I don't think Chicago. When Chicago's been to like New Zealand, a couple funky places, really far away trips. I don't know if they've ever been there. I think one of the big ones, like Fountain City. I think Fountain City's been there once or twice.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think
So,
so too.
yeah. What a
Well, and then
great.
didn't Chicago go to the Netherlands too to play in a
Yeah, I think they
competition?
did the Netherlands as well. Correct.
Are they
Yeah.
still real active or not?
They're active, This is what Colin wanted to do when he left us. He wanted us to be a competing band. He got that with Chicago, and that's the business model they want to do. I'm not going to talk bad of them about here on a recorded thing, but it's their business model. It's what they want to do. We have our business model, which is the way we do it. They do
Right.
things differently.
Right. And who is the director now over there?
A guy named Mark Taylor. Young guy, he's got his doctor from Northwestern. He's a percussionist. He also conducts Milwaukee. He started playing in Chicago and took over from Colin about 3 years ago, post pandemic, I believe. I actually played with them. I played with them their first gig back after their COVID break.
Okay.
I play with them on tuba on in the fall of 02, I think it was.
Okay. That's good.
Nice group. I know a bunch of people in the band. I mean, we've had people from our band. Obviously, the beginning, all the people from our band went there, and it still happens. People from our band are now in their band, and vice versa. Because NABBA started a rule. You used to be able to, here's the thing. You used to be able to compete in multiple sections. So us being in championship and Chicago being, excuse me, Chicago being in championship and us being in first section, we had a lot of people that were playing in both bands.
Ooh.
Principal cornet player is one of our euphonium players. They're now married, Brian and Sarah. They're both lovely people. And our principal B flat tuba player, whom we got about 3 4 years, he retired Navy guy who was beast of a player. He is just phenomenal. He was playing double. He was playing double duty. But NABBA started this rule a couple years ago. I don't know if it's just to help promote and get more people to play in the activity. I don't know. But the activity is very popular, and they said you can only play in one band. So all those guys, all those three, had to make that choice. Chicago, Illinois. They chose Illinois. So,
Wow. Okay. Now
yeah.
you guys have been going Tanaba every year, and it's, I think Steve's approach is it's a learning experience, right?
Steve's approach is it's a learning experience. Every January, he gives us basically, he goes into teacher mode. He sends us basically, it's like a syllabus for the semester. Here's what we're going to work on. We have, for example, you obviously know it. Things are fast and crazy. There's a million notes. We'll have an A tempo, a B tempo, and a C tempo for the fast sections. January, you play in the A tempo. We
Oh,
just moved
yeah.
to February. We moved to the B tempo, so we're up a tick. And then March, contest is the first weekend in April, so it's so basically March. We're at our goal by March 1st is to be at written tempos.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's some tough stuff in this one piece. We have a mission to the test piece for our section. First section is a brand new piece of music. It will debut at NABBA this year. It's called Ghosts of Industry. It's by Lucy Pankhurst. It's okay. The overall the band is like we need more meat. So the piece we've chosen has the meat in it. So our piece is this year is Excalibur by Johannes Vanderroos or something like that, and it is a beast.
Yeah, it got to be so crazy.
Yeah,
You're
right.
not a professional player, and that's what you needed to do some of that stuff.
Well, right.
I think the pieces that we played, we were well prepared, and we played them well. I remember one of the earlier competitions when we played Tritico. Remember that?
Of
And I
course.
think and we won that year, and I listened to that recording, and I get chills when I think about it right now,
Good stuff. Isn't it good stuff, huh?
because yeah, towards the end it just builds up and builds up, builds up, and then before the last chord, there's a rest, and you can hear everybody just breathe all at
The
once,
inhale.
and it's
Right.
right on the money. So.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, it's funny you talk about that and you talk about the evolution of the music too, right? It gets so hard and there's so much done and there's only so many things you can do, right? You got to keep pushing the envelope and the music keeps getting tougher and tougher and less, I think less melodic.
Yes.
Right? You talk about like a piece like a Tritico, right? It's just based on a hymn tune and it's just a perfect piece and it's all these theme and variations and everything. So it's all right. So what about thoughts about our various Christmas programs we did over the years?
Okay, you're talking about the Genesee experience. Oh,
Sure, all of them.
yeah. By the way, I just saw Paul Hahn a couple of
What?
2 months ago at our church. He was playing some brass accompaniment stuff.
What?
He's still playing. I think he plays out at College of Lake County, plays in their jazz band. But
Yeah,
anyway,
nice.
Paul was the impetus for all of our Christmas stuff. And his highlight was that he was able to get us, first of all, into Waukegan High School to do a Christmas concert.
That's right, before the Genesee was
And
done.
we did that for a couple of years. And if you recall, we brought in some bell group ringers, the Agape Ringers, and then a couple of choruses, the Waukegan Chorus and the Red Rose Children's
Red Rose,
Choir.
right? That's the name of that one, right?
And we actually went out one Christmas to was it the Tivoli Theater out in,
We did Tivoli for a couple of them, yeah, in the late 90s. Yep.
and that was with a barbershop quartet group, 60 or 70 guys.
Westtown's Chorus, I believe.
Yes,
Right.
West Town's Chorus. And so we always had something cooking at Christmas time, but I think the highlight was the Genesee Theater experience. And
Was wonderful.
just to give you some background on that, Paul always, he grew up in Waukegan. He went to the Genesee Theater when it was a movie theater, and it fell into disrepair. City wanted to get it up and running again, and Paul was connected well with the administration of Waukegan, and he mentioned that he was in this band, and we'd love to do a concert there because he had heard that once it was done, they wanted to not only have top-notch groups come in that were professional, but also some community groups to come in and, share the experience with the community. So, long story short, the place is getting ready to open up, and they didn't have a ticket service yet. There was no such thing as Ticketmaster for them. And Paul had always just gone around and sold tickets in Waukegan.
From his barber chair.
And again, he knew everybody in Waukegan, and we were able to fill the high school auditorium, but he sold tickets for the Genesee, and there were no assigned seats. And so he said, "I sold a lot of seats." So at the first concert, it was kind of first come, first serve, wherever you wanted to sit. And it was a full house. But the
I
interesting thing
remember that.
was that it opened on the weekend. I forget what, just a couple weeks before Christmas, but the opening act on Saturday night was Bill Cosby.
Right.
Remember that?
Then we played right after that.
We played the next day, and we didn't even have chairs yet. I think we had to scrounge, rent some chairs for the band. And of course, Kevin Warnke played Santa.
Right.
And I think Peter was our director at the time.
Yep, I'm pretty sure it was early too. Yep.
Oh, and he just schmucked it up with Santa. And
Peter's sitting on Kevin's lap.
oh God, yeah. Oh yes. And we played our usual stuff, and it was great. Now I don't. The next year, I think, did we go back to the Genesee?
I think we played there. I want to say we played there twice.
Okay.
I want to say it was 2 years, probably like maybe 2001, 2002-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after Christmas, those Christmas concerts, what did the band do around Christmas?
We used to do, we did what well, we did a couple in Chicago with the handbell choir as well, I think I remember. Then we did an old-fashioned Christmas for a while with Peter. That's how we branded it. And then we
Okay.
did, I know we did it at the Arcata out here. We did it in Elgin once. We did it at Geneva High School once.
You remember we did the Arcata, and they had the organ. The organ
Right?
came up from below.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You and I went, remember you and I went and saw the Ron Santo movie there.
We sure did. We sure
Yep.
did. And that place is doing quite well. I mean,
Doing
Ron
well, yeah.
Artest.
Guy runs it. Ron Onesti. He's runs a couple different theaters. I think he's got the Des Plaines Theater now, the bigger
That's
one, the
right.
Pickwick, which
That's
is
right.
bigger. Yeah,
Oh,
because
he's got
Arcata
the.
used to have a lot of stuff, and then a lot of the classic rock bands thought, "Oh wow, I'm making money. I can make money in a 500 seat theater. I can make room a lot more money in a 2,000 seat theater." So I think that's why there a lot of that stuff is moving to Des Plaines.
Sure. I haven't been in there since they redid it, but yeah, we got some friends that live in Display. I should go to a concert there. Is there?
Yeah, we went to a movie there back right before it was closing down. It was the only time we'd ever been in that room. Beautiful room.
Yeah,
Wow.
okay.
It'd be nice to play in there. Yeah.
Yeah, keep your options open. So what
Yeah.
do you guys
Yeah.
do for Christmas now? You just do the church concert?
Christmas is nice. No, we got three. We got the church. We've got out here in St. Charles. No, basically, right. It's funny because how for years after this guy took over the Arcata, I tried to get us in there because we'd done that, and I was getting the runaround from this from their booking person. I'm like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, Bill Campy's wife, Jennifer, goes, wait a minute. There's this lovely United Methodist Church right up this literally up the hill from the Arcata that is a beautiful big room. And her dad actually was the minister there back in the 60s.
Wow.
Beautiful room. Fast forward later, we've been going there for 10 years now, and we get a great crowd there. We sound wonderful in that place.
Good. Yeah.
So we do the show there. We do the show in Arlington Heights, and we've recently added another one in LaGrange,
Okay.
another United Methodist Church. I call it our United Methodist Church tour. And then LaGrange is good. We got to work on getting the crowd up. So
Okay.
we got to get the word out into the streets and get my and get the crowd out, because it's another nice room and there's potential there to make it three. And we always make good money off of Christmas. So,
And you guys, financially, the band's doing okay?
knock on everything, we
Yeah.
survived COVID okay. We are doing as well as we've ever done.
Good, good.
Financially,
It looks
it's
like Steve's going to be around for a while, huh?
we're happy with Steve. Everybody's it's a great relationship. He's works as hard. It's funny. I tell a lot of people this too. I've learned so much just sitting in rehearsals and just gathering knowledge from him. I pass along. I'm still teaching privately that I pass along to my students that I apply in my playing. That I mean, I just sitting there learning from him has just been. I
Well,
like I say, I just become a sponge and just soak up every bit of knowledge I can get, file it back here, pass it along, and it's been great. So, it's been good.
yeah,
All right,
he's
let's wrap it up. So you
okay.
left us, and you've been singing. Tell us where you've been singing, and are you still active?
Well, I think in the 2009 or so, I just told Steve, I think I'm going to finish this chapter, maybe start another one, and that's kind of how things work. Because I auditioned for the Chicago Masked Singers, and it's an audition place, so you audition every 2 years, and they went through a conductor change just 4 years ago, and it's interesting, the guy who took over, young guy who's in his 30s, and when he signed the contract, here came COVID.
Sure. Great timing.
What he did is did a lot of Zoom things, and we actually recorded our individual voices and then had a mix and did two or
Remote again.
three pieces.
Nice.
And then once he started, we were really impressed because he sings, first of all. Our other director didn't sing. He's young, he's got new ideas. He's got this year we're doing the second year where we've invited three high school choirs and a choral director who's written for anybody, but the church, the high school choirs that we invited learned three pieces by this composer. The composer would go out and do rehearsals with them, a couple of rehearsals. We would learn some of his pieces, and we would combine for a finale piece at the church. And the kids would surround the audience and sing the finale piece. Well, it worked out great last year, and so this year we're doing it again. And that's coming up at the end of February.
Wonderful.
And we do our concerts in Glenview. We've got three concerts that we do every year. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. We always need tenor singers, of course. So yeah. But
Oh, good for you.
I think we've got probably 80 singers right now. It's been as high as 115. So
Wow.
yeah.
That's a big group.
By the way, we just did with the Lake County Symphony, and ourselves and another choir, we did Beethoven's Ninth for
Oh,
the
wow.
fourth movement. That was
Love
amazing.
it.
And
Love it.
just to say you've done that once, it was a bucket
Right. There you go. Lovely.
I'm enjoying it. We got rehearsals every Monday night, so I'm busy trying to learn our parts. You know how it goes. You wait till the last couple of weeks, and then
We try not to do that, right?
yeah, I know it's a bad habit.
I know. Well, Mick, thank you. It's been wonderful. We talked about reunions earlier. You
Yes.
know, 15th, 25th, 30th was canceled because of COVID. 35th is coming up next year in 2026. So we're going to be reaching out to all of our alumni. We're going
Good,
to
good.
start planning something big for 35th since we missed 30th. And it
A
was a
great
pleasure
idea.
chatting with you.
It's always nice to have one person that is the contact between both, and you're still in the band, so that really helps out a lot, and it keeps the flames going, as they say.
There you go. And I'm the bridge between Sabaki and I are the bridge between the old and the new, right?
That's right. That's right. Tell him I said hi. I haven't seen him in a
I will.
while.
I will. Oh, I got it. We got Ackerman. We got Sabaki. Who else is left? Bill, Melody. Oh, it's there's been a lot of turnover, but
Sure.
we got some good young blood now.
Well, that's what you need. You got to keep growing
Right.
like that.
That's right. Well, thanks again, Mick. Appreciate it. And I'm going to pause this right now, okay?
All right. Love you
Take care, man.
guys. Take care.